Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 57 from February the 27th of 1993. We are still in Jellicoe High School in Jellicoe, Tennessee. The venue is packed just like it was last week. Harper, how you doing this week, man? We had a hot episode. Now we're rolling on through. What's going on, dude?
Doing all right, man. Fucking rock this shit out.
Hell yeah, hanging in there. Doc, what about you, man? You doing all right?
Whatever. Let's talk about wrestling. This is about the wrestling, not me.
Doc's still salty about his home improvements that are not happening and his workers that are working 4 hours a day and cutting themselves and injuring themselves on the job because they're just lazy, it seems. But, yeah, let's talk about some wrestling.
They showed up yet?
They show up yet this morning, Doc?
Yeah, they're here.
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay, that's a ringing endorsement on what's going on. All right. Well, we'll jump right on into things, man, because it's a new venue. So if you want to hear the demographics, you'll have to go back and listen to last week's episode. I mean, it's not a new venue. If you want to hear the demographics, go back and listen to last week's episode where Doc gave out all things Jellicoe High School, Tennessee. Hopefully you're still with us and you weren't insulted by Doc shitting on the area. We jump into things. It's Dutch and Bob Cottle. Dutch's signs are hard to explain, so I'm not even going to try. You're going to have to just watch it online on YouTube. Down and Dirty this week will be Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright, where they'll discuss the burning of the Confederate flag incident from last week. Night Stalker also will face Larry Santo in the Beat the Champ TV title match. Harper, I'll throw it to you first. Anything from the opening of the show?
No.
Yeah, me either. Doc, what about you?
To the ring.
To the ring we go, as Bob Cottle always says. Let's go to the ring. We go in there, and it's Ted Allen versus Killer Kyle. Killer Kyle. Yes. Bob Cottle is becoming senile, though, because he said he would give anything to see what's in the violin case. Well, Bob, we did see what was in it months ago. It was wrist tape that Kyle used to tape Dixie Dynamite to the ropes back in the first 2 to 3 months of Smoky Mountain. And then he beat Dixie's ass while Dixie was tied to the ropes. Kyle eventually wins a quick match with the rub out. Doc, I'll throw it to you first and get your thoughts on Ted Allen versus Killer Kyle.
They also say this is Ted Allen's debut, which I imagine means this happened earlier in the night than his second match at the taping, but it's still wrong on this show. So the announce booth is all over the place here from the beginning. The other
Bob
thing,
Cottle, poor Bob.
The other thing that I had here was fuck wrestling in a suit. Shit. I hate wearing suits just to wear a suit. So
I know,
imagine
wrestling
in one of them sons of bitches.
Yeah,
well,
no.
We talked about that before, and Harper doesn't quite wrestle in one, although he's active in one. And I would not. I mean, Harper, have you ever just ripped your pants doing something in there?
Ripped my pants at the Shamrock show. I fucking ripped my pants, and I was telling Luke, I was like, dude, my fucking pants ripped. And it was like right before the show. I had to go to home to get another pair of pants.
Did you really?
Yep.
Oh, God, great.
They ripped just like in the cartoons, like down the seam.
That's awesome. All right. So there you go. That's a little bit of background information on wrestling in a suit. So, yeah, I'd imagine so, Doc. Anything else from the match, though, Harper?
No, squash match.
Yeah. Bob, and like I said, Bob Cottle is, you know, I guess people, you never know. I mean, they're in new markets by this point, so they hadn't heard Bob's shtick from a year ago, the whole violin case. Because that's an old thing from episode one, if you remember.
Yeah.
He bringing in the violin case and what's in it. I mean, that's like an old thing. So that's a year ago.
Didn't Killer Kyle lose the first match of Smoky Mountain to Ricky Morton? I mean,
no,
Robert
Gibson.
Gibson.
Yeah, very first. Again, trivia there. Robert Gibson, the first televised match in Smoky Mountain is Robert Gibson versus Killer Kyle, and Killer Kyle loses in, I think, a roll-up. So,
right.
All right, we go to the next match. It is Rip Rogers returns versus Reno Riggins. We hadn't seen Rip in a long time. Very long time since we've seen Hustler Rip Rogers. Rip is back, and he's not happy as he attacks Reno from the start. Rip delivers a fantastic chop on the floor to Riggins, and Riggins takes a huge bump on the gym floor as we get into things. And Riggins eventually gets control in the match. But then the two trade turns being on offense. Eventually, Riggins does a crossbody on Rodgers and gets the pin on Rip and gets the win. Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Thoughts on the match?
Wrong guy won.
I know.
You know,
I
but
agree.
Here's my.
I was hoping Rip won this. I knew he wasn't going to, but I was like, I wanted to see Rip win.
Well, and here's my thing. And I wanted to kind of put this up in front of the crowd because Reno's gotten a little bit of exposure in the last 6 weeks or so. So Reno will do a few things in the course of a match that make you wonder why he never got bigger than he did. But then, and I don't really have any examples, but then he'll just, in the same match, do a bunch of shit, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's why. So I see flashes from him. His promos were the drizzle and shit. But he's got flashes of things that he could break out, but he just, I don't know.
Fuck you it. Just said it. The promos are not good. But I'll throw it to Harper before I respond to what you just said. Harper, what'd you think about everything?
I like this match. It was fun to watch. And the match, it ended right where it was supposed to.
And, would you have rather seen Rip win, though?
I would have liked to see him win, but it was a flying crossbody. I was like, please be it. That's it. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Nowadays, they would have kicked out at fucking 1.
You got a point there. That's very true.
And the match ended right where it should have fucking ended. But,
yeah.
I mean, I like seeing him back.
Yeah. It ended where it should have ended, and then to the point, you know, you made a good thing it ended there, because nowadays everybody's kicking out of everything 100 times, and it makes it meaningless. It goes back to what Rip always says on Twitter. You know, he practices what he preaches whenever you look at his old stuff. But I kind of wish Rip would have got a push, and we didn't get to ask Cornette that when we had him a few weeks back on the show, on the flagship show. So if you listen to this one and don't listen to the flagship, go back and listen. Cornette's on our flagship show a few weeks back, and really, really great discussion about overall Smoky Mountain. But I wish Rip would have got a little bit more of a push here in Smoky Mountain. Yeah. I really like Rip. Rip's a hell of a talent, hell of a talker. He just is a good performer, but, you know, it wasn't to be here, and that's that. Doc, you said you're talking about Reno Riggins. I think Reno's problem was, again, kind of like Tim Horner, I thought he was fine in the ring, but he's not really much of a talker, and I just think even still in the 90s, even more now today, but, you know, Junkyard Dog wasn't a great professional wrestler, but that sumbitch had charisma and could promo, and that's one thing Reno doesn't have. He doesn't have the charisma nor the promo, and he doesn't have that it factor because of that. And that's why I think you're feeling what you're feeling. That's my assessment on it.
Okay.
All right. Anything else from that, Doc, from the match?
No, sir.
We go now, and it's Bullet Bob Armstrong. So let's hear what Bullet Bob's got to say coming up.
Hustle Rip Rodgers right now. Let's go right now to Bob Armstrong talking to the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Bob Armstrong.
All right, fans, and here with us right now, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner Armstrong, I know that you have still been searching and going round and round over Jim Cornette and the incorporation of the Heavenly Bodies, as well as having to pay the bill for Kevin Sullivan's therapy.
You know, those bills are staggering, to say the least. Every week we get bills to pay just to keep Kevin Sullivan going. We're looking for a way out of this because, brother, he's trying to bleed this company dry, and he's doing a pretty good job, and we're desperate. We'll find a way out. As far as our attorneys are concerned, they're investigating the Heavenly Bodies 3 now, defending 2 belts. That don't add up, Bob.
Yeah, no.
But I've been talking bad news so long. Now I've got some good news.
Oh, let us
hold on. I want all the people in Pikeville to listen up. I've got it right here. On April 2nd, that's on a Friday night in Pikeville College Gym, Smoky Mountain Wrestling presents the Bluegrass Brawl. And, brother, have we got some surprises for you folks in Pikeville. I'll be looking forward to saying hello to every one of you. Remember, mark it on your calendars. April 2nd, Pikeville College Gym, that's on a Friday night. I'll say hello to you folks at the Bluegrass Brawl. Thank you.
All right, fans, that'll be in Pikeville, Kentucky on the 2nd.
Whoa, boy, we got a major announcement here. Doc, you first.
If I'm not mistaken, Bluegrass Brawl has a super-duper bloodbath match in it. So So we'll have to look forward to that, get our hepatitis flowing. Did you notice that Bullet Bob forgot to change clothes or his hat or anything else here?
Yeah. So
and
what? That's the charm of it.
News flash for Bob Armstrong. But psychiatry's not cheap.
It's very, very expensive. Very expensive.
You would know.
Well, I'm trying to talk about the, you know, access to mental health for these poor people that can't afford it.
That's nice.
God.
That's nice of you.
The people who need it most can't afford it.
That's right.
That's nice. That's nice. Harper, your thoughts on the promo?
It's fucking receptionist should get fired.
No kidding.
That fucking bitch.
Stupid twat.
I know.
Just make the coffee, pick up our dry cleaning, and shut the fuck up.
That's why I fucking missed the one.
Jesus.
That's why he left?
If you watch the shoot fucking interview, he said, man, with that receptionist, she fucking pissed all the money away and they couldn't pay him anymore. That's why he left.
all right. Well,
women ruin everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does Arn always say? They ruin everything, but hold on. What does Arn always say on the Saturday Night Show? Women are for cooking dinner and making babies. Damn. Woo. All right, so, Bullet Bob addresses Sullivan's bills again here. That's a short recap with that. And then the attorneys are still investigating the Heavenly Bodies in the three guys defending the titles. But the good news is April 3rd, 1993 in Pikeville, Bluegrass Brawl 93 will take place. So more news to come. Good stuff there from Bullet Bob, in my opinion. We go from that to a local promo. I am going to play it because it was somewhat of some important stuff here, although it's not disclosed. It's just a small important thing that's coming up.
Barberville, Kentucky, Knox Central High School, Smoky Mountain Wrestling coming Friday, March the 19th at 8 p.m. A return match, you'll see Tim Horner against the Night Stalker. A first blood match, Kevin Sullivan against Primetime Brian Lee. And for the heavyweight title, the Dirty White Boy defending against the Wild-Eyed Southern Boy, Tracy Smothers in Barberville.
You doggone right, you're defending that title against the Wild-Eyed Southern Boy. White Boy, you got a lot of dues to pay, man. You cost me $5,000, you cost me the TV title, and you burnt the rebel flag, man. I'm just like all them people in Barberville, Kentucky. I've worked and I've fought and I've scratched for every dadgum thing I've got in this world. When I come to Barberville, it's for the title. I proved to all them people that I'm capable of beating you because I beat your butt last time. I ain't coming for no wrestling match. I'm coming for a fight. I'll see you the 19th right there in Barberville.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling in Barberville, Knox Central High School. You'll see the Heavenly Body, Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard, and Beautiful Bobby against the Rock and Roll Express and a mystery partner.
You know, last time I was in Barberville, Jimmy Cornette, you brought all your boys out there. Yeah, they put a whooping on the Rock and Roll Express. This time, boy, we got a mystery partner, Jimmy Cornette, and it's somebody you know real, real well.
Well, that's right, you know, because this time it's not going to be 4-on-2. You see, Jimmy Cornette, us and all the fans are sick and tired of what you've been doing to us every time we meet you in the ring, because you know that any time the Rock and Roll Express can be any two of your heavenly bodies. Well, you see, this time, brother, I went out. I pulled some strings. Mr. C.J. McCornett, I got a lot of friends. I got a mystery partner that don't wrestle here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but you know him very well, and the people are going to be surprised, and so are you, Jimmy Cornette.
Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Thoughts?
Man, there's a lot going on here with a lot of implications, man. Smothers is, you got his attention now, so he's ready, and he's, you know, just, you know, he's made a successful transition from, oh, I'm just happy to be here and I want to climb the big Smoky Mountain, to he's got a personal issue and he's sunk his teeth into it. Then you've got Morton over here saying, we're bringing somebody, and you know who he is. Now, Harper, do you know who this is?
No, don't ruin it.
I'm not going to ruin it.
I'm not going to ruin it either, but let me just say this. Let me tease it like this.
Okay.
When has Smoky Mountain promised something that would be big and it turned out to not deliver?
Never.
Well, that's not going to end here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You think?
Just a little bit. Harper, what are you doing? Flipping through your fucking binder over there? Jesus Christ.
What?
It's Renegade.
I'm popping bubble wrap.
Like a fucking kid. It's like a 3-year old over there. Jesus Christ.
No,
I'm like,
no, popping bubble wrap is good for people of any age.
Yeah.
I just question the timing of it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm like, what is this fucking noise? Because here's what I'll get. I'll get somebody go, hey, there's some kind of noise in the background. What the hell, Mike? Can you do some cleanup on the editing?
You need to modulate, y'all. You know. Well, there's how do you suggest we work around our Bobby Heenan popping bubble wrapping on the show?
Well,
get you a fidget spinner. Because let me tell you something. This mystery partner will not disappoint.
Nah, we're
Is he on the next episode?
I think I'm so. Not.
Okay.
Homer's gonna binge watch it like he's been binge watching Game of Thrones when he was trying to get caught up.
It's either the next one or the one after that.
It's not far away. It's coming up, Harper. And Doc's right. There is no disappointment. It is fucking awesome when it goes down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on from that, and we've got a promo now from. Well, I say promo, but Cottle's going to introduce it, and then it's Kevin Sullivan. So here it is.
Heard last week and a few moments ago from Commissioner Bob Armstrong, due to an error by a staff member while Bob Armstrong was away, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is being forced to pay for Kevin Sullivan's psychiatric therapy. Sullivan is sending us videotape to keep us abreast of his progress. So right now, let's take a look at this.
Mr. Sullivan.
Yes, Dr. Phillips.
I'm glad you're here, and I'm very glad that Smoky Mountain Wrestling is paying my bill. And it's going to be a long session, many months.
Anything you say, Doctor.
I want you to tell me what these cards, these ink blots, represent to you.
This one looks like the Mongolian stomper burning in oil, and he's screaming his lungs out, save me, save me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one looks like the Rock and Roll Express joined together at birth and Jimmy Cornette hacking them up with a chainsaw and separating them.
Mm-hmm, Mr. Sullivan. What's this one remind you of?
This one reminds me of Tim Horner sitting on a lily pad and a bunch of hunters with tripods stabbing him and stabbing him.
And this one?
Oh, this one reminds me of Tracy Smothers getting impaled on a rebel flag pole.
And this final one, Mr. Sullivan?
This one. This is a very interesting one. It looks like that baboon-like head of Brian Lee impaled on the golden spike.
Yeah, Mr. Sullivan, I think this is going to be a long session, many months. But right now, I think you need a cranium massage.
I love cranium massages, Doc. Anything you say.
Nurse Cratchit?
There's nothing like a good cranium massage. Doc, I want to ask you a question. What does this look like to you?
Looks like waterfalls and blue skies.
What does this one look like?
Looks like butterflies and trees.
Doc, you're right. I think this is going to be a long session. It's a good thing Smoky Mountain Wrestling is paying for all this. Thank you, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And thank you, Commissioner Bob Armstrong. I just love a cranium massage.
Wrestling fans.
There's not really much to comment on, in my opinion, but I'll throw it to Doc first because it's just so stupid and insane. It's just like, oh, fuck. Go ahead.
If psychiatry therapy included and meant that some big-tittied whore rubbed my head, I'd go every week.
Which head?
Either one. Both. Oh, yeah. All of them. The head shrinker in question here doesn't seem legit to me, but maybe that's just me. And am I the only one who now looks at Tim Horner and thinks of him sitting on a lily pad getting repeatedly stabbed?
You are not the only one, Doc. We I think we all can agree to that one. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Horner getting assaulted. Yes.
Blade.
Harper, what about you? Anything?
I get my cranium massages from Asian chicks in New Orleans East.
But, do you? You go into the Me Love You Long Time spas out there? Yeah.
And who's the psychiatrist?
I don't know.
I don't know who that is.
They don't say who. He doesn't have a history.
It's Phillips. It's something Phillips, but I couldn't tie it all together in the 38 seconds I did of research.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Anything else from y'all?
Mm-mm.
All right, after that, there's a match. It is Lynn Fields versus the devil himself, Kelvin Sullivan. And Sullivan takes no time, hits to the ring to brutally attack Fields, like we would expect. A question for both of you. In Smoky Mountain, is seeing your name on the board against Sullivan during this time period equivalent to seeing your name on the board to face Ronnie Garvin on TBS Saturday night in the mid-80s?
God, this is worse.
Yeah.
Because you might actually get butchered.
Uh-huh.
Right. Think about Jeff Daniels a few weeks back.
Well, that's true. Sullivan,
he got his wig split.
Yeah, that's true. So far, Ronnie Garvin just ties you up into a pretzel, but he doesn't really make you bleed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you both would say this is worse.
Yeah.
This is worse. And so far, this was the least brutal because this guy didn't even bleed.
That's true. Yeah. Sullivan loses quickly by DQ, but Fields is actually the one, you know, who's defeated. But yeah, I guess you got a point, because if you really think about it, I forgot if it was Bart or Brad Batten who faced Sullivan a couple weeks back, and even he bled. And I mean, I'm not trying to say he wasn't an enhancement talent. He was mid Carter, and he got sliced open. So yeah, I guess it's right. Garvin hasn't sliced anybody open yet at this point. Garvin's finisher, his knockout punch, is nothing compared to Sullivan's finisher of butchering you in the head. So I agree. Okay. We go to that, from that match with Sullivan to now Sullivan and Night Stalker are cutting a promo, and here it is. This is right after the match, obviously.
By with the Master and the Night Stalker.
Fans, I'm here, of course, with the Master, Kevin Sullivan, Night Stalker. If it hadn't been for the Night Stalker, I think you would have just annihilated that young man earlier, Kevin Sullivan. But I keep getting letters from Tommy Starr. What about that?
Let's not bring up depressing subjects. Let's bring up happier thoughts and maybe happier times. Brian Lee, March 21st in Knoxville. Do I have a deal for you? I hear you like to gamble. I hear you like to dance with Lady Luck. Well, you've met Mr. Lucky. And in Knoxville on the 21st of March, I would like to present you, you gambling fool, a match never seen before. A Russian revolver match.
Oh,
just like a pistol with six chambers. You see, it could be any type of match. And here is what it is, Brian Lee. I'm not going to tell you the rules. I'm not going to tell you what match it could be. Just come on down like a revolver. Brian Lee, I'll place
him. No, Master.
Oh,
no.
Thanks. I need it, Bob. Come here. I don't want to talk to him in front of him. But I think he's getting real aggressive, and I think he's getting near the edge.
You mean the stalker?
Brilliant. Tim Horner, let's talk about luck for just 1 second. Your luck has ran out because you stuck your nose in my business, and you have upset the Master, and you never upset the Master, because when I get in a ring with you, I'll beat your brains out and bust your lungs and choke you to death, because, Brent, you remember skinwalker and blood will pour. I am the Night Stoker, and I need to be fed.
I think we may have to pay for both of them, fans.
I want to see the Night Stalker bludgeon Tim Horner and make him bleed. Doc, your thoughts on the promo?
So is this kind of a, remember the early 90s WCW spin the wheel, make a deal bullshit? I thought that was a takeoff of this. The Night Stalker is a monster. He looks like a, I just don't know that they're doing all they need to do to make him look like just an unstoppable monster. And I don't think it helps that when he talks, he has a southern accent. He shouldn't talk at all.
You might be right there. Harper, what about you?
He got bored and left.
Yeah, take a piss or something. I mean, I guess it's better than what he did about a month ago on the flagship show when in the middle of the show, I throw it to him and I go, hey, he's literally in midstream. He's standing on his by his toilet with the laptop in his hand just pissing away.
Yeah, that's nice.
Shows up. Offer your thoughts on the promo. Sullivan and Night Stalker, if anything.
Dude, wouldn't it be fucking awesome if they have a real pistol somehow involved?
What, it just blows somebody's brains out?
I don't know, but somehow there's the, I mean, this shit caught my fucking ear. I was like, what? They're going to do what?
It would only be awesome if somebody pointed it at Tim Horner.
That's, come on, man.
I didn't say shoot him. I just said pointed at him. There's a difference. I'm not advocating anybody.
He's got a wife and a kid.
Like I said, I'm not advocating murder of any sorts. I'm just saying, you know, if he pointed it at him, that's all. Okay, let's keep it moving here. Harper, you got anything else?
The fucking Night Stalker. I can't wait to see him and Tim Horner.
Oh, I hope he murders him.
Yeah, hope he kills him.
Oh, just destroys him. Please,
and no one
please.
Does a run-in.
Please, 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 please. Yes. Okay. Well, we're about to get into something fun here, at least for me. It's Tracy Smothers. It's Down and Dirty, but it's a couple of different portions of Down and Dirty. So what happens is Dutch is out there, and he throws it to first a recap or a review of the Dirty White Boy torching the Confederate flag and Tracy's match against the Night Stalker that Smothers lost, thanks in part to Dirty White Boy distracting Smothers. And Smothers, and so we're about to get into that. So here is Tracy's part of Down and Dirty.
You folks all saw what happened last week. When the Dirty White Boy beat the stew out of me. He cost me $5,000. He cost me the TV title. It's no secret that I've carried the rebel flag since I entered professional wrestling. A lot of people don't like the Confederate flag. You know, I read in the newspaper that the state of Alabama and the state of Georgia don't even carry the flag in their capitals. I think there's a lot of good and bad in everything. I want to tell you what the Confederate flag means to me. You know, to some folks, the rebel flag brings back a lot of bad memories. But to me, it brings back good memories. It reminds me of where I come from, where my father comes from, and his father before him, and his father before him. And some Northerners and folks from other parts of the country always try to make us look like a bunch of dumb backwoods hillbillies. But the fact of the matter is that we're proud of our home. We love our home. And we have pride. You know, when I carried that rebel flag on TV, it was a message to those folks that knocked us that we're proud of where we're from, that we love where we're from. We're proud of the fact that you can still go to a store and folks will say hello to you, how you doing, that good old Southern hospitality. We're proud of the fact that we can leave the doors to our house unlocked and not lose everything we own. And if I ever have any kids, when they grow up, they'll be able to join a church and not some street gang. I would never, ever be any place on this earth than right here in the South. And Dirty White Boy, you tried to take that away from me. You know, a lot of people come up to me and they said, Tracy, are you going to let that Dirty White Boy get away with burning your flag? Are you going to do anything about it? Yeah, I'm going to do something about it. You know, Southern people will treat you just like you treat them. And dirty white boy, you got a bad treatment coming, son. You mess with the wrong man. That belt means as much to you as the rebel flag does to me. And I'm going to show every man, woman, and child out there, and especially you, Tony Anthony, dirty white boy, that you don't mess with the wild-eyed Southern boy.
That was pretty damn good. Out in the woods. Harper, what did you think?
I thought it was funny when he says people from up north are trying to make us look like we're backwards. And I was like, I don't think they're trying. I think that's just the way you are.
Yeah.
Is this his property? Or I've always I was wondering, where was this filmed at?
Why don't you ask him next time you see him? I don't know. I don't know where this is filmed at. Might be another Cornette question. Where is this filmed at?
Yeah.
Oh boy, this is Doc, I'll throw it to you. What did you think about all this?
So I don't want to use hyperbole here, but is this the Southern Fried Hillbilly Hard Times promo?
No, I think you got a point. Yeah, I think you might be right there.
You know, instead of textile workers and the factory and the gold watch, they want to make fun of us, and they want to, you know, we're better than them, kind of.
That's true, huh?
Yeah, and he just got hurt and
lost the
belt.
I think there's something to that. Yeah, I think there is something to that.
I popped when he said Dirty White Boy beat the stew out of me.
That's a line that Dutch used early on in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
So he did this either or in this, and it's built off something Harper said a second ago where he goes, they think we're dumb backwards hillbillies, but we're just proud of where we come from. You can be both.
That's nice. That's nice of you to insult people.
I'm going to take a brief stop and say, I love, this is going to sound funny, I love vignettes out in nature. I don't know why, but with them out on the, like, in the woods or out on the farm, I love these. And I, not just here. I mean, I loved it in World Class when they went out, quote unquote, to the ranch and Dave Von Erich made Sunshine and Jimmy Garvin work. I don't know why, but I love them.
No, I do too. I mean, I think that was part of what we liked, although it's completely different and crazy about the Final Deletion and Total Deletion when TNA did it, or Impact, or whatever the fuck it is.
Because it has a weird, crooked line to it. You know, it's not a straight line to it, but it is an homage to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
So here's a question here, because I think, depending on how you draw your lines here, you could say that all three of us live in the South.
Yeah.
Harper, for sure. Mike, do we live in the South?
I mean, I kind of, this ain't the South, it's more the Southwest, but it's more South than North, I mean, for damn sure.
Okay.
But I mean, I grew up in the South, so yeah, you know, fuck, I spent 30 years in the South, so that's where I was from.
So do either two of you find Confederate soldiers leave your doors open and unlocked at night?
No.
Right.
But I can tell you, back then, in 1993, it was unlocked.
No, okay. not where I was from in 1993.
Yeah, not in fucking Gentile, you.
We just got to agree to disagree. We've been locking fucking doors since the early 80s where I'm from, partner.
We're talking about Jellicoe, so it's 96% white. So it should be okay.
That's a generalization that in the South you can leave your doors unlocked.
You know why you can't now, Jellicoe? Because they're all on meth and opioids, and they'll break into your house for pills or money for pills.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm not kidding on that.
Okay. No, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Think about it.
This
think
is a good segment.
You got a third of the population. Never mind. I'm not going to school these people on how stupid and poor and hooked on cheap meth they are. I don't have to tell them about their lives. They know it. They're living it.
Oh, boy. There you go.
Jesus.
Let's get to...
Speaking of old Brother Ron, let's segue to Brother Ron.
Yeah, that's where I was going. I enjoyed that. Let me just say this. I enjoyed that segment with Tracy Smothers. I thought that was excellent in how they did it and him being where he's at. And he just showed you why he is a fucking awesome babyface in this territory out there cutting that promo. And it's, you're right, it's probably the Smoky Mountain version of Hard Times, although he wasn't injured. I agree. Let's go to Ron Wright now in the Dirty White Boy, their portion of Down and Dirty. Here it is.
As you can see, it was a wild time last week here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but I want to know, Mr. Wright, obviously you and the White Boy have made an enemy out of Tracy Smothers, and the fans at home would just like to hear some of your comments.
Let me tell you something. I've never been so heartbroken and let down in my life. I made the South wrestling what it is. I'm the Southern living legend, and all of these people around here cheering for this no good Tracy Smothers makes me shamed and disgusted of the South. Shut up over there.
Shut up and let him talk.
Hey, I'm so disgusted with the South, the way they're backing that Smothers. Man, the White Boys are moving on.
Let me tell you something. I don't care where you go or where you live, but I'm here to tell you boys that next week Tracy Smothers is going to get his shot at your title right here on TV, and I'm going to give him a whole lot of time. And on a personal note, I think you've caused more problems than you're worth, and we're going to get this settled.
Wait a minute. Did you hear that, Mr. Wright? Next week, the White Boy.
I heard what he said. I'm not a believing it the way they went down on us. I just can't believe it. We're going to move to New York City, and they can have the South. That's what they can do.
Since you just heard it right there, we're renouncing the South, and we're going to become Yankees because you bunch of redneck, tobacco-chewing, four-wheel-driving, non-shooting, and that's just the women, Dutch. The men's even worse. Let me tell you something, Tracy Smothers. It's going to take a lot more than you and Bob Armstrong to get this title off the Dirty White Boy.
Well, there you heard it, fans. Very controversial words from a very controversial man. Don't go away. We got to pay some bills. We'll be back in 120 seconds. Are you okay, Mr. Rant?
You're all right. I'll be all right. Get me out of here. I don't want nothing.
They're denouncing their Southern heritage. Doc, your thoughts?
Well, they're going to really stretch the bounds of disbelief here, because the ability to suspend it, because never before have two hillbilly-sounding sons of bitches renounced Southern heritage and proclaimed themselves to be Yankees. They are the two least convincing Yankees of all time. I'm disgusted with the South.
Hoffer, I'll let you go, and then I'll throw an idea out that
I have. He's the Dirty White Boy, and we saw that promo that he did where he's like living in the fucking junkyard. So this is how he is. So
you can't get in the shower and wash the South off of you.
No.
You know what this was equivalent to? This is like a black person saying,
yes,
fuck those Yankees up north. I'm moving back to the South where I can live better.
Uncle Tom.
I think it's right. more like one man gang becoming Hakeem the African Dream.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, this is so insane. Well, and here's the thing. This is just the start of that. I don't want to let things, you know, we always say this. We don't want to spoil things for people following along. But this is only the start of them denouncing their Southern heritage. This is just one little domino in the dominoes that are about to fall. And I'll leave it at that. Doc, anything else before I go to the next match?
Well, if it's just the first one and we've got Ron Wright, Tracy Smothers, and the Dirty White Boy together, you know this is going to be fun no matter where it goes.
Yeah. Harper, anything else from you? Mm-mm. All right. Well, from there, it's Larry Santo versus Night Stalker. Remember, Night Stalker won the match or is now Beat the Champ TV champ. And Night Stalker comes out to War Machine by Kiss, which I pissed Doc off a few months ago back when I asked him who sang that song. Doc, you remember that? and you got pissed with me. Ah, he was mad because I didn't know. I was like, Doc, who is that? He's like, you stupid son of a bitch. I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, Night Stalker wins a squash match with ease. Harper, what did you have from that? Anything?
Nope, he just killed the guy. One, two, three.
Pretty much. It's 1, 2, 3. Doc, you?
So I was looking at Larry Santo during this match. And Larry Santo looks like if Lance Storm and Kane had a baby.
Jesus Christ. I don't see that, but okay.
Also, I thought at the end, at least Hildebrand didn't hand Night Stalker a check that had been stashed away in his nuts. Remember that?
Yeah.
Say that again?
At the end of the match, Hildebrand produced a check and handed it to the Night Stalker, and I said at least it wasn't sitting next to his nuts like when we had the Horner and Landell thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was... I think we undersold how great that was when when Buddy stuffed that sweaty balls check in Horner's mouth. And now that we know the history of that, it's like, how much of that was a fucking shoot? Like, Buddy was like, let me make sure my balls are good and sweaty and have lots of nutsack juice on it, and I'm gonna stuff this shit in your mouth, you fucking chicken fucking hillbilly son of a bitch.
I'm gonna rub my swamp ass all in your mouth.
Right. Right. Because remember Buddy said, I'm going to go out there. Before all that went down, he's like, I'm going to go out there and jog a few miles and get a good stank on. Like, what if he stuffed that check in his ass crack while he was running and then wrestled it in under his balls where his dingleberries are, and then he fucking stuffed that shit in Horner's mouth. There you go, Timmy. Oh, shit. Hey, by the way, Buddy talks about that, not that incident, but the whole I Quit match. I posted it to the YouTube channel, tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube, where he references what he did to Tim when he sang Moon River. It was very, 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 very funny. But anyway, okay. Let's get back to things. Well, speaking of Tim Horner, and so Night Stalker won, but speaking of Tim Horner here, Tim Horner's out, and he's going to cut a promo, and Jesus. Now, I want to tell y'all, we got a lot of feedback a couple weeks back when people were saying that they loved our fucking laughing and giggles as Tim Horner cut that promo where he was talking about Paul Orndorff. So I'm just putting that out there. Oh, here we go.
Here, the TV title. Let's go right now to Bob Collins standing by with Brian Lee and White Lightning, Tim Horner.
Dutchin, right, you are. Primetime, Brian Lee, White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim.
You know something? I heard the Night Stalker come out here and say that I stuck my nose in his business. Well, if the truth be known, and I'll tell you what the truth is, Night Stalker, you stuck your nose in Primetime Brian Lee's business. I'm just being his friend because I'm going to make the odds even. 2-on-2. Now, we're looking for you, so don't have to worry about looking for us because we're looking for them. We're like a team. He's carrying the ball, and I'm going to be doing some blocking. I might not can knock you down, Stalker, but I'll clip them legs out from under you, and he'll get his shot with that Russian roulette.
I think you'd probably like a chance at that $1,000, too.
You know I would.
Title,
you know,
right?
I would.
All right.
You know, Bob, what? Tim, Kevin Sullivan, March 21st, you got this Russian roulette match. You talk about six chambers in a gun. What else can happen? Six chambers in a gun, I don't care. Burn the ring down. Surround it with barbed wire, because I tell you what, I got one weapon. It's a .45 caliber right here, and I'm going to knock your little pea head off your body.
Prime time, Brian Lee, White Lightning, Tim.
Oh, boy. Alper, wow. Go ahead.
That's great comedy. Jesus Christ. It's almost like he's been pulled over by the cops and he's got fucking weed in his pockets. And he's scared. Right. He's like, I was going to my girlfriend's house.
You got to hand it to Horner. He produces golden moments for us each and every week. Now, he doesn't really do anything. We have to do all the work. But it does produce good stuff.
I'm gonna clip his legs out.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the worst thing he said. A clip in football is illegal, you jackass. You're supposed to be a baby face. You're going to go out and do a heel tactic. What?
He's a big man, but I'm going to clip his legs out.
Did you hear him say, fucker. The one that got me, I don't know why, but it's just like, he's like, we're like a team.
No shit, Sherlock.
What are you, a 12-year-old girl? Jesus. Even a 12-year-old girl wouldn't want a fax machine in 1993, so never mind.
We were just on the verge of the internet, and he was worried about a fucking fax machine. I mean, I don't think people realize this. There were people who were starting to have cell phones at this point. Like, they weren't popular like now, obviously, but...
No, it wasn't Doc. Doc was still 7 years out from a cell phone.
Well, no, yeah. What I'm saying is there were the flip phones were starting at this point.
Yeah.
Remember the
I didn't get rich till recently.
No, what I'm saying is there were people who had them. So you're a big time businessman. Why don't you get you one of them flip phones? Why you need a goddamn fax machine? Oh, never mind. You got to read shit. You want to see the paper and hold it in your hand. He's like these fucking dinosaurs we work with, Doc. They got to print out everything.
I'm blessed where I work. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. He's just doing that just in case anybody ever listens to this. Anyway. All right. So we go from Tim Horner's fuckery again to now the Rock and Roll Express are going to come out and cut a promo. So let's hear what Ricky and Robert have to say.
Rock and Roll Express right here, Rick. Doesn't matter how it goes now. The Heavenly Bodies, the Studs, or whatever. You guys are outnumbered. It's like 3-2.
That's right, Bobby. I have two problems right now. It's two problems that's bothering me. You see, like every time we wrestle the Stud Stable or the Heavenly Bodies, it's always 3-on-2. Every time it's 3-on-2. And the second problem is, every time that we have the Heavenly Bodies beat, Jimmy Cornette pulls one of his old tricks. But you see, individually, 1-on-1, we can beat either the Stud Stable or the Heavenly Bodies, and I'm out here telling you that right now. But you see one thing, Jimmy Cornette, we have signed some six-man tag team matches in Knoxville and Johnson City. But I'm gonna tell you something, baby. I've got a mystery partner for you that hates you as much as the Rock and Roll Express does, and it's as devious and as mean as you are, Jimmy Cornette. So, baby, you get it ready, because in Knoxville and Johnson City, remember this, we have got a mystery partner, baby, and he's gonna take care of business and take care of you, Cornette. But one thing, like I said, Bob, 1-on-1, we can beat either one of the Heavenly Bodies or the Stud Stable. It don't matter to us.
That's right. That's like I said, boys. Y'all go down at 1-on-1. We take care of anybody.
All right. Hey, can you tell us who the partner is, Rick?
No, Bob. I'm going to leave that a secret for you, Mr. Cornette. See you in Knoxville and Johnson City.
All right, fans. We'll be right back.
More breadcrumbs. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Doc, your thoughts?
I can't wait to find out who this is.
More bread.
This is, well, there's just, you know, it's a track record of paying off your angles, and they're gonna pay it off, and I can't wait.
Yeah,
I know who it is, and I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. Harper, anything from you on that?
This reminds me of the Night Stalker tease. I
gotta
know who the fuck it is.
Oh, you mean the mystery Sullivan?
Right.
You mean the master? Okay. Yeah. I got you. Yeah. It won't take it. Here's the thing about this one. It's not gonna. They're not gonna. You know, play it out for 12 weeks because that went on for months. went on for months. We're not gonna go on for months. I think from the time they start teasing it, there's 3 to 4 weeks. So it's a quicker payoff. But even then, it's still good. So I love this, man. I mean, you know, just the breadcrumb trail is being laid there. Now, I have a question for you. The local promo,
play
Cornette kind of repeats itself after this, though.
Play
you still want me to play it?
I had a note here that you should play these.
Okay, I'll play it then. I just wanted to ask because there's another Cornette promo right after this, but let's play this one. This is the local one for that area.
For the heavyweight title, the Dirty White Boy defending against Tracy Smothers, the Wild-Eyed Southern Boy.
You know, everybody keep asking me, Dirty White Boy, why did you burn the Confederate flag? Why'd you rip it up, stick it in a garbage can, put gas on it, and light it? Because I hate the stinking South. Because anybody that would get behind that low-life Tracy Smothers, I don't want to be from. So me and Mr. Wright, woo, Daddy, we went straight up north, New York City, baby. Because the last time we was in Barberville, what a fluke. A fluke that'll never happen again. Tracy Smothers, you beat me in Barberville. But this time, big boy, this is on the line, and I just don't see it happening.
Also in Barberville, you will see Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard, and beautiful Bobby Eaton, the Heavenly Bodies, against the Rock and Roll Express in a mystery partner.
You know, I'm so sick of hearing about this so-called mystery partner the Rock and Roll Express say they have. First, they signed a match in Knoxville. Then they said, no, we want two. So they spread it out to Johnson City. Now, it's coming to Barberville, too, all weekend. Well, let me tell you something, Barberville. I know you people out there, you don't like what I got to say. You cannot imagine how little I care. But Rock and Roll Express, I care about you. I care about putting an end to you once and for all. So do the Heavenly Bodies. You say you got a mystery partner? There ain't nobody you could get. None of these big stars you know that can compare with the Heavenly Bodies in Barberville on the 19th. We'll find out.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first.
The line that got me was when Corny said, you cannot imagine how little I care what you think of me. That
yeah.
was... awesome.
That one and another one. I'm going to throw it to Harper first and see what he says.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch as soon as I get out the fucking computer to
well,
find who the fucking mystery guy is.
Yeah, what I was going to say about this is I want you to specifically remember Cornette's words, there is nobody you know that can compete with the Bodies. Just keep that in mind, all right?
Okay.
For everyone out there listening, not just you, Harper, because you haven't seen it, but everybody else out there, there is nobody. The key word being nobody, right, Doc?
I think so.
Yeah, nobody. So, okay, now...
And then we all popped when Dirty White Boy said, I hate the stinking South.
Yeah.
That's like... New York...
No, him and Ron Wright in New York as it like showing up at a fucking Yankees fucking ball game, baseball game, right? Like everybody else there is like, who's this? Who are these two fucking idiots that just showed up? All right, let's keep it moving. So we go from that. And the reason I wasn't sure if you wanted me to play it is because right after that, Dirty White Boy was good there. I'd forgotten about that part. But right after that, Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies are out there now with the live crowd with Bob Cottle. So here that is.
All right, fans, here they are with us, Jim Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies. You will notice, as the Rock and Roll just said, one, two, three out here, three against two.
My God, that remedial reading course did wonders for you. Hey, Dutch Mantel. That's what I think of you, brother. That's what I think of your commentary. That's what I think of the Stud Stable. And that's what's going to happen to him real soon. Now, I heard the Rock and Roll Express out here talking about a mystery partner. Who can it be? They ain't going to tell. Well, you know something, Rock and Roll? We ain't worried. Because you can't find nobody on the face of this planet that can give the Heavenly Bodies a fight. I know they've been going around to WCW. I know they've been going all around the country, hanging around with a lot of big stars. But I don't care who you dig up. Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. Makes no difference to us, Rock and Roll. In Knoxville and in Johnson City on the 20th and the 21st of March in those six-man tags. The only mystery is going to be how many pieces you're in when we get finished with you. You know what they had the gall to say? They had the gall to say that any one of them could beat any one of my guys individually. Yeah. Let me tell you something, Rock and Roll. Neither one of you could beat half of us with the other half helping you. That's what your problem is. You can't beat us as a team. You can't beat us singly. Hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Get in front of me. Get in front of me. Get in front of me.
Here come the Rock and Roll. Well, all right. And here comes.
That's right.
Here comes
Cornette,
Commissioner
Armstrong. I said it. At any time, myself or Robert can beat any one of you guys one-on-one anytime.
Prove it.
Prove it right now. You pick one of them. Let's prove it right now.
What are you talking about?
That's right. There's the ring right there. Let's get in it right now, buddy.
Either one of you.
Either
we
one of us. You know, hey, hey, hey. Hey, boy.
All right. There's the challenge. What about this, Commissioner Armstrong?
Gentlemen, let's see. I'll tell you what. If they want to go one-on-one, it's up to them. I'll take care of the rest. Let's just see what they want to do.
Okay.
We picked. Beautiful Bobby Eaton. You skunkhead. Get in the ring. Yeah, get in the ring.
Let me say this, Cornette. I'm going to see that the rest of these men back to the dressing room. There'll be one-on-one. Back to the security. Get me the security.
All right, fans, and there it is. 101, beautiful Bobby Eaton and Ricky Morton in this special challenge match, and it's underway.
Before we talk about the match, let's talk about the promo. Harper, your thoughts first.
Yeah, when he brings up, oh, well, I know he's been going to WCW, it just adds to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It just adds to it.
Yep, it teases it more.
Mm-hmm.
Breadcrumbs.
Fuck.
Yeah. Doc, what about you?
He called Morton Skunkhead. I
thought. I love that. Skunkhead. Oh, that was great. Again, Cornette repeats, there's no one that the rock and roll can dig up that can compete with the heavenly bodies.
Nobody means nobody.
Right. And then they proceed to having a match. And let me ask this from both of you. Any other thoughts on the promo before I recap the match?
No, we are now going to the ring for what is a main event in any federation.
Yeah, and I like the way they did this where they presented it as it was a singles match between two members of the teams. I like that. Now, I'd venture to say, while these two were stars of tag teams and are known as quote-unquote tag team wrestlers, these are probably two of the best singles wrestlers ever if they would have had singles careers. I mean, these guys, as singles wrestlers, could hold their own with anyone. I mean, besides that, I really didn't have much from the match. Well, I had stuff from the match, but I just that was the first thing that hit me when I saw this. Doc, I'll throw it to you first and get your thoughts.
There's just one note I had, and it's not to take away from these two guys because these two guys are amazing. But at one point, Eaton put on the figure, and Eaton's awesome, but he put on the figure four on Morton. And when you watch really great wrestlers put on the figure four and kind of struggle with it, you appreciate how smooth Rick was when he put that shit on.
Yeah, Rick was really smooth with putting it on. I agree. Doc, Harper, anything from you?
A lot of chain wrestling.
Yeah, I didn't have much as far as notes go on the match. I mean, they're just moving along. I mean, it was cool and all, but they're just moving along when, you know, out of nowhere, 6 minutes into the match, the stud stable, that's when it gets interesting. I mean, what they did before that kind of just filled up time, but is when the stud stable hit the ring and began attacking Morton and Eaton that things escalated. Then Gibson hits the ring. Then Lane and Pritchard hit the ring. Then Killer Kyle hits the ring. And then before you know it, the locker room's clearing, or it seems that everyone's in the ring, and Cornette decides to blast Len Fields, who came out on the ring to the ring. He's out on the floor, laid out, and Cornette just proceeds to having fucking, you know, batting practice on the outside with his tennis racket. It sounds off like a firecracker. They go off the air with chaos, no resolution, you know, because that's how it went back then. Doc, I mean, thoughts on that part of it after the chaos ensued?
I was just laughing because Rip Rogers has been gone for months, and he comes back and his ass gets out there, and he got dealt with quick, and then the Corny's beating him up with a tennis racket, and I was like, what's Rip doing out there?
Yeah. Harper, what about you? Anything else?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, what the hell is Rip Rogers doing out there? He's a heel.
Yeah, I mean, everything cleared. This was a crazy episode. I mean, everything, and then it's kind of actually a fitting end to it all, the way it goes down. There's no, like, ending promo. It goes off air with just pure chaos, and that was that. So, I guess if y'all don't have anything else, it's disability check time. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
Yes, all right. Sir.
So, as far as disability checks go, I'll go first, since Doc went first last week. I'm going 8.9.
God.
Doc, you.
I think you've lost your mind.
Yeah, that's high, man.
That's real high. Yeah, this was good.
I said it last week. I'm saying it again. 7.9.
Okay. Hopper, you?
I'll give it a 7.5.
Oh, man, what's wrong with y'all?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Man, there was, I mean.
There's not Eaton. There's not a damn thing wrong with Harper and I. This is your fault.
Eaton and Morton, the promo at the end, Smothers. I mean, come on, that Smothers promo? And then Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright responding?
So that's better than burning a flag.
Yeah.
You just compared it to the fucking Hard Times promo, asshole.
Hard Times isn't Dusty's best promo. It's an overrated piece of history.
Okay. If you say so.
Like your statues.
Right.
All right, Doc, give out a government cheese award.
It would be, there's a lot of contenders here. I mean, you got Tracy out on location. Corny is ripping it up. But for two Southerners to turn their back on their heritage like this for the second week in a row, Dirty White Boy. But this week he's going to have to split the cheese with Ron Wright.
That was pretty damn impressive. That was pretty impressive. Harper, what about you? I'll ask you.
I'll give it to Tracy. I mean, it was hard because I was thinking, well, a Cornette was there, twice?
Mm-hmm.
We saw him, but I was like, you know, I want to give it to Tracy because I love those fucking promos where they're not in the building, where they're more in their, I guess, natural environment.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Tracy too, and it's hard. That was a hard one because Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy denouncing the South was definitely a contender. Definitely a contender. I mean, it was so insane.
That's like Elton John calling someone, you know, a fruit or something.
Fruit.
Oh shit. Oh, okay. Wow. All right, let me do some plugs, man. Let me get these plugs out the way. Thanks to Joe Stassi and Old School Pro Wrestling Lives. Pause the show now and go give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you're listening there. Please consider becoming a patron. You can go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis and get access to the patron-only episodes that we do. And also want to shout out the Hall of Fame patrons, Justin Rasmussen, Slider, 91US, at ShepDaddy32, at USC49ersDodger, at Gerald Green III, at TOG94, at SVPadgem, at MartinHowell71, at TimOrechi, Coldman822, at GodBoldUnreal, at UnconvincedRay. Thank you all for being Hall of Fame members. And then also, use our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Give it to your wives and girlfriends and let them use it. It's a great way to support the show. Doc, you got anything else? This was a good episode. I mean, I know you're down on me on my rating, but this was a damn good episode.
It's not the episode's fault. You don't know how to rate it. I mean, okay. Shit. It was another... I mean, solid ass hour of entertainment. We've said it. I don't know how many times we can say it. The mystery partner pays off because Smoky Mountain always pays this kind of stuff off, and we are starting to heat up Smothers and Dirty White Boy. We have things in the fire for the coming weeks, and I for one, I'm ready.
Yeah, I am too. This is it's really starting to take off. Harper, any closing thoughts from you before? I send us home and mention the Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that.
I'm ready for next week, man. Fuck.
he's ready to see.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to see who this mystery partner is.
Yeah.
And I agree. I was kind of like that, too, when I was watching this. I was like, I got to keep watching to see what happens here. We got to keep going, man.
I guarantee you that when I was watching this by myself before we even thought of this, I guarantee you that this is one of those nights where right about here, it was about 11 o'clock, and I was like, man, I got to work in the morning. But I'll be goddamn if I'm going to bed before I figure out who this mystery partner is. And the next thing I know, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, son of a bitch. I'm fucked tomorrow. But that shit was worth it.
It's because it fucking made you watch it. I'm telling you, it's like binge watching Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or something. If you've never seen it and you got access to the episode, you're like, fuck, I gotta keep watching to see what happens next. Damn, that's exactly how it is. Certainly. Hey, check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. Just check the links in the show notes. It's there. You can also go to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the like button and then click the shop now button. It'll bring you to our Pro Wrestling Tee store. And then Twitter at BTT underscore podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper's at CJH. Who dat? Again, if you missed any of the links I mentioned in the show, you can check the show notes. They are all there for you. And then check out the Tee Public store, because that's where a lot of the Smoky Mountain theme tees are, like the Ron Wright tees and whatnot. So that said, man, I ain't got nothing else. Doc doesn't have anything else. Hopper, go ahead and plug the Vimeo. I forgot about that.
Go on Vimeo on demand. Type in Wildcat Hopper 15. You get 15% off. Enjoy.
There you go. Fuck. I won't even play the old plug that we have here where you talk about five cans of spam for y'all. That said, man, Hopper, hit the tagline and get us out of here for this week, man.
Fuck it, bitch.